When the World Trade Center in New York fell to a terrorist attack on September the 11th, 2001, few realized that what would follow would be a decade-long war on terror campaign. Until recently, the face of terror was Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. But that isn't the case anymore. A successful raid on his hiding place in Pakistan resulted in the killing of Osama bin Laden, an act which President Barack Obama is given much of the credit. I'm Matt Smith, and welcome to a La Trobe University podcast. My guest today is Nick Bisley, a professor of the politics program at La Trobe University. Like many in the world, he has been following the events as they unfold, and describes the situation as this.
The first reaction was one of just total surprise. Like, this has been something which people have been expecting, waiting for, anticipating, dreading, depending on your point of view, for a long time. And then, bang, it happens. No warning, no pre-announcement, very swiftly. And I don't think a lot of people are like, about time. This is 10 years, a lot of money. And as time went on, I was like, hang on, he's in a city, he's in Pakistan, he's not far from Islamabad, you know, he's not in a cave, he's not in Afghanistan, he's not in the lawless parts of Pakistan. And then quickly people started to sort of ask these questions about, well, what did the Pakistani government know? So that was the kind of immediate reaction, I think, this is a slowly unfolding sense of surprise, expectation, and then sort of puzzlement as to what was going on. There were, of course, we saw those, some cases, distasteful response in America, the immediate, quite jingoistic people on the streets hollering the kind of USA and sort of stuff, although that didn't last that long. And then within America, of course, we've seen this is an event that has fundamentally transformed Obama's personal poll ratings, his personal approval, and most people think has now set him on train for what is probably likely to be a re-election in 2012 from a situation in which across the board, he was looking very vulnerable.
Since the announcement, details of the raid on Osama bin Laden's hideout have been released. And there was quite a big surprise that he was in, for the area, quite a rich house. What did you think of the operation? Was it all above board? And did it kind of play out the way that everybody thought it would?
I mean, we tend to remember when you look at these things, the things that go wrong. The most obvious sort of point of contrast was the effort by the Carter administration to have a helicopter attack on Iran to free the hostages that had been taken by the Iranian students in 1979 that went catastrophically wrong, where something like five of the seven helicopters crashed and the whole mission was aborted. So we tend to think of the things that go wrong. This seems, from all operational point of view, to have been a spectacular success. You know, no American injuries, let alone fatalities. One helicopter crashed, but they blew it up so the technology didn't get into enemy hands, as they put it. They got their prime target, they minimized civilian casualties and demonstrated the capacity of America's military to do certain things very, very well. You know, this is a precise raid in enemy territory, hostile terrain, to get the world's most wanted man, and they pulled it off very, very successfully. You know, this is in another country that they haven't told that they're doing this. This is a tricky thing to do. So from an operational point of view, I think it worked really well. From a PR point of view, within America, hugely successful. Internationally, I think there's been more sense of unease about a targeted killing. As some people have put it, this is a drive-by shooting. I mean, it's a little bit more than that, but nonetheless, it's a summary execution in a way. And this leaves some people feeling a little uneasy. I mean, international lawyers gone so far as to say, you know, this is illegal. I'm not sure that's quite true in the sense that bin Laden was clearly a commander of a military organization that was seeking to inflict significant damage on the American populace and the American military. So I think the argument that he's not a legitimate target is probably not strong, but there's still something about a raid to go and kill someone, which I think liberal societies feel a little uneasy about.
Osama bin Laden being quite a big figure in the war on terror, there was some sort of debate about which would be better, whether it was preferable to have him alive or dead at the end of this. If he was captured alive, do you think that would have been a better or worse outcome for America?
No one will admit this publicly, but I suspect amongst the administration there would have been some people saying it might be useful to take this guy alive, and not just for, like, let's torture him and get information out of him, but if you've got him, you can publicly display him and say we've got him, whereas forevermore there will be doubts. Did they really kill him? Did they really get him? Is he really running free? What's going on? You know, there's the kind of the doubters of bin Laden will be with us. On the other hand, I think the Americans were absolutely right to think that, okay, well, you've got bin Laden, then what do you do with him? From America's point of view, you've got to put him on trial. And that trial would make the royal wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton look like a country gathering from a global media point of view. It just would have been a complete circus. You can see why having him dead is more useful. And there's also, curiously enough, I think, something in having bin Laden dead that's useful for Al-Qaeda. He's now a martyr to the cause. He is now someone who they can argue he was murdered, cold blood, in front of his children, in front of his wife. This is what America does. This is grist in that kind of propaganda mill that Al-Qaeda will propagate. It's almost a weird situation in which both America's interests and Al-Qaeda's interests are probably best served by him being killed rather than him being put on trial. Having said that, I think that bin Laden on trial would have scored quite a significant PR coups along the way.
Osama bin Laden wasn't exactly hiding in a cave. How did he escape attention for so long?
There can be no doubt that someone, somewhere, or probably a significant number of people within the Pakistani military or the intelligence service, or possibly even the Pakistani government, knew he was there and was protecting him or providing some services to facilitate him being there. There's no question of that. What is a question is who knew what, where, and how much. Informed opinion seems to be that the ISI, so that's the intelligence service within Pakistan, was providing him with protection. And in the longer run, thinking of him as the ace in the hole, which they can turn to when they need to, and would have coughed him up at some point at which it would have been particularly useful for them. Precisely where in the chain of command that is, we don't know. I assume we'll eventually find out, but it may be a while. But you can tell by the remarks that very senior administration officials in the US have made, Deputy National Security Advisor, for example, saying publicly someone in the Pakistani government had to know. To be saying this publicly, they're putting pressure on Pakistan. You know, if you look at the uneasy relationship the Pakistani military and the Pakistani intelligence service has had with terrorist organizations over a long period of time, they've danced with the devil many times. It would almost be odd if they hadn't. Having bin Laden is a very significant trump card for them, particularly given the double game they're trying to play, where on the one hand, they're helping America fight the Taliban and other jihadist-type organizations in Afghanistan, whilst they themselves are supporting these groups in India and in Kashmir to try to advance their cause in that part.
What does the death mean for the presidency of Barack Obama now, and could it have come at a better time for him?
The better time would have been in probably about 12 months, in a way, because we're far enough from the election that I suspect the big bump that he's had in his polls will probably ebb away over time. This is not the event that will get him re-elected. But my sense with presidential elections is that they're a lot about momentum. Single events don't win you and lose you, or very rarely win you and lose you an election. But momentum, building up that sense that this is a story that's compelling, that people are going to go out and vote and support, is really crucial. And Obama didn't have a lot of momentum recently, up until very recently. Negative opinions about his leadership, about foreign policy, about the war on terror, as well as catastrophically bad numbers on the economy. This has turned around those numbers quite significantly in all areas except the economy. That hasn't been affected, not surprising. But if you look at big indicators, Pew polls, the CNN polls, every poll that has been done since this has occurred has shown a very large turnaround. I think for Republicans, what this event has done has basically said foreign policy, defense policy, security, terrorism, that's a no-go area now. What I think this has done from a presidential point of view is, A, given Obama momentum going into 2012, which is very, very important. He now doesn't have the stench of death about him anymore, which he had a little while ago. And B, cleared the decks for the election itself in the sense of what the issues are this election is going to be over. And it is now very clear this is going to be an economy election. This is an election about the recession in the United States and his handling of it, and the extent to which the Republicans can capitalize on the negative sentiment that is very strongly held in the electorate towards Obama for his handling of that. If he can offset that negativity, particularly if the Republicans put up a crazy candidate, a Donald Trump, a Sarah Palin, or someone who's palpably unelectable, then he's fine. If they put up a more moderate person, if he can't get traction on the economy, if the unemployment numbers are still very bad, then I think the benefit he'll get out of this from a foreign policy point of view will be offset. It's very clear in American political history that no matter how important the foreign policy issue, these things almost never shape election results. It's always about domestic issues, with very, very few exceptions. George Bush Sr., big victory in Iraq in 1990, voted out in 92, whereas his son, after the catastrophe of Iraq in 2003, gets re-elected in 2004. The correlation between what happens outside America's borders and what Americans actually do at the ballot box on presidential election day is pretty ambiguous. And I think that'll probably be the case for Obama.
Barack Obama's been getting a lot of trouble from Donald Trump recently, kicking up claims that he's not an American citizen by birth, that he wasn't born in Hawaii. During the announcement of the death of Osama bin Laden, the new episode of Celebrity Apprentice was interrupted. Do you find that a bit uncanny? Or was that a planned interruption, a planned timing on Barack Obama's part?
There are some things in life in which are just serendipitous, and I think that's one of them.
Really?
Yes. There are a couple of serious points here, though. One is Obama has tried to position himself as above the fray with the things like the birth certificate stuff, saying this is a trivial issue. Serious people don't worry about this. And if I respond to them, I'm stooping to their level. But what Trump did, he's the guy who politicized the issue to the point where the Obama administration felt they had to say, look, you guys are crazy. But if you look at the press release, you know, they basically say, we've got more important things to be doing than this, by the way. You children kind of get over it. But the interesting thing was less to do with interrupting Celebrity Apprentice, but more to do with the fact that the operation was going on to kill Osama at the same time that annual White House press dinner is going on. During that dinner, Obama's standing up giving the speech. He knows what's going on. So he's got to give this public face that's kind of relaxed, funny, poke fun at himself, poke a lot of fun at Donald Trump. Meanwhile, he knows what's going on and the risks that are happening. I don't think that Obama is concerned about Donald Trump as a serious candidate. In fact, I would imagine if I was sitting in the White House planning the Obama re-election campaign of 2012, I'll be praying like crazy that Donald Trump is nominated by the Republicans. It makes your life very, very easy. Ditto with Sarah Palin.
Does Osama bin Laden's death mean an end to the war on terror?
No. Firstly, Al-Qaeda is bigger than one man. It's been very badly damaged by the past 10 years. It is much less effective, but it hasn't gone away. There's certainly within Afghanistan, within Pakistan, within India, within Southeast Asia, certainly in parts of Northeast Africa, there's activity of this kind going on that's either directly or indirectly related to Al-Qaeda. It will be more fragmented, it will be more diffuse than in the past. As with any organization, there are questions about succession and what will come after it. But they've demonstrated an effective model of insurgency of a kind, of an ability to leverage fairly small amounts of capital to fairly high levels of effect. Having said that, what people often forget about Al-Qaeda is that in its first instance, so before September 11th, when it was first established in the late 90s, and in fact to this day, their main aim has been the seizure of power of significant states in the Middle East, and in particular Saudi Arabia and in Egypt. Now, what I think has gone not entirely unnoticed, but I think hasn't received enough attention, is the irony that around the same time as bin Laden is killed, we have Arab uprisings, but they're not jihadi uprisings. These are good old-fashioned social movement, liberal-ish, not necessarily democratic, but certainly fairly orthodox kinds of coalitions of, you know, students, left-wing activists, business people who are throwing off the shackles of outdated, corrupt, authoritarian regimes. And this is what Al-Qaeda actually wanted. They wanted to be able to capitalize on popular discontent with Arab authoritarianism in Egypt, in Saudi Arabia, and to seize power, because they knew that the population of those states was very frustrated with corrupt kleptocratic rule, and that they saw this as the sentiment that they could harness to achieve their kind of caliphate-type goals. Terrorism as the method, but the goal was regime change and radical transformation of the state. What I see in the Arab uprising faced in the context of bin Laden's killing was the declining resonance and efficacy of Al-Qaeda as a vehicle to achieve state change in the Middle East. And that's actually really important because it's separate from the war on terror. And in fact, I think that's where Al-Qaeda is going to find life most difficult. It will continue to do these violent acts wherever they can, but I think their capacity to harness that violence to achieve their goals, as in the seizure of state power, at the moment looks to be in decline. I think that's a really interesting confluence of events, that the Arab Spring happens and then they catch bin Laden, and Al-Qaeda's taken a double beating from two distinct sources.
It depends what happens in the future, but will this event be the one thing that defines Barack Obama's presidency?
It's a good question. I mean, you have to wait and see, but I suspect it will be, from a public media point of view, it'll be the big telegenic event of his first term. From the administration's point of view, you know, if you said to Obama during the election of 2012, what have you achieved? I suspect getting Obama, or getting Osama, will be probably top five or top 10, but not number one from his point of view, particularly in terms of the story he's going to be telling to the American people. I still think for him, things like healthcare reform, hopefully seeing off recession in the United States, these are bigger ticket items within the US and things on which, you know, longer term legacies are held. Having said that, for a president, this is political gold and he's not going to not cash that chip in.
That's all the time we've got for the La Trobe University podcast today. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback about this podcast or any other, you can send us an email at podcast@latrobe.edu.au. Professor Nick Bisley, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Matt.